Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles. This week, we're going to talk about a subject actually through our questions that we get from listeners and what I call this Q&A session. I really like getting questions from entrepreneurs, from new budding entrepreneurs, those that have ideas that they feel might be successful in the marketplace. And this is one that kind of crosses all of those areas. And everybody has had this, whether they are an entrepreneur or business owner. They've all had great ideas, you know, and I kind of classify this as ideas. You know, how do you realize or commercialize a great idea? And this is something that can happen inside of a brand that may be global. It can happen inside of a company that's a startup. So it applies across all areas. And I think it was a really a great subject and question for me to address in this podcast. So welcome. Appreciate your time today. So I want to talk about these ideas that people have, whether they're brands or entrepreneurs or somebody that has this great idea, and how do I realize it? And is it something that really is worth commercializing in the marketplace? And so when I look at this, there's really three main categories. Now, there can be other categories. I'm not saying this is the only one, but from working with brands and inside of brands, these are the three areas that we usually put up on the whiteboard. And the first is it a new product? And ideas can be products, they can be services, whatever they may be, but it defines itself as a product. And so with the technology era and digital era that we're in today, I throw services in there now because you can provide a better service through a SaaS or whatever it happens to be. So products can be either physical or they can be in the cloud. So when you look at this, is it a new product or service is number one. Number two is, does it provide a new channel opportunity with current products that we're selling in the marketplace today? And the third, which is probably a little bit more rare, but does happen, and you'll see brands that start up another brand. Maybe it's something that conflicts with how they position their current brand. And I talk a lot about this, and I think it's a great idea when you have some premium brands and we talk about good, better, best channel positioning. It's better for a brand, in many cases, to maybe start a new brand if they have a great idea, great product, service, whatever happens to be, instead of conflicting with how you positioned your brand in the marketplace. Many times it's better just to start with a new brand. I call it a sub-brand strategy. So we'll talk about three areas of ideas: new product or service, new channel, new brand. So each of these represent an opportunity. And again, it's not all of them, but I found in most instances in working with companies and brands, these are going to be the three areas where you're going to find ideas coming from. And so I point out five areas in order to what I call realize or commercializing your great idea. And as you go through each one of these steps, it kind of is this funnel. And it really is understanding, is it an opportunity or is it not an opportunity? And as you go through these steps, it really allows you, if you're honest with yourself and you're honest with how you do your analysis, it really gets you into a position of saying, hey, should we take this any further? Should we continue investing money, or are we putting good money after bad? So I've kind of ordered this in regards to how I work with brands, and having been in executive roles with brand development on with global brands, this is really the process that I would go through in order to define, is it something that we should be pursuing or not pursuing? So the first step you'll look at is defining the opportunity. And by this, I mean the market opportunity itself, broken down into several areas. Number one being category. Number two being the demo. Who are you selling it to? The category is, where does this product or service fit? Is it a new category opportunity for us? And if so, who's the demo that we're selling this to? Is it a correct fit for the brand? Is it the same customer that we have? If not, that may default you into maybe a new sub-brand or a new product category. The third piece on this market analysis defining the opportunity is the region. There's many times where you see an opportunity. It's a little bit more rare on the region side because of product. They're available globally for the most part. But there may be an opportunity, a distinct opportunity in a particular region. So you want to define where that opportunity is from a product category or service perspective. Who are we selling this to as far as the demo is concerned, male, female, age group, whatever it may be, you're defining specifically who you're going to be targeting in the region as well. And then the channel of distribution, because it's different these days. You'll find more and more brands that are going after the D2C component. They control their own destiny and they're moving away from the brick and mortar side of it. So now you need to really define further the channel opportunity and how you're going to pursue that. So defining the opportunity is number one. So when I say being honest with yourself, and I'll do this and I'll mention this again on these other areas in how to commercialize and realize your idea, and first defining if it really is an opportunity or not, is defining that opportunity through the market. So again, to recap that, it's the category itself, product or service, the demo you're selling to, the region that you're going to be selling the product into, and then the channel of distribution. So those are four areas that are very definitive and very defined, and it allows you to really not only define where the revenue opportunity is going to be coming from by channel and market, but also how you're going to be able to build brand awareness in a new category or product and defining the marketing budget on top of revenue expectations. So defining that opportunity, you may come out of defining this opportunity and find, wow, it's not as big as we thought. It's the wrong customer for us, and or we think the marketing spend will be too much. So that would be the first piece that we'll analyze when we're defining this great idea. The second is defining your competition. And I can't emphasize this enough. A lot of times what I see out there is that these entrepreneurs or these budding entrepreneurs and or brands as well, where they're putting blinders on. Blinders from the standpoint of, I call it the ostrich syndrome. Putting their head in the sand and not really looking around and being honest with who their competitors are in this category of product or the market itself. Once you define the market, then go after who inside of that market is your competition. Now, what you may find is, being it is a new idea, a new opportunity, a new demo that you're selling to, you may be going up against some competition you never had to go up against before. So it's critical, once you have that opportunity defined, that you get a realistic expectation of who your competition is. Take the blinders off. If Nike's your competitor, if Adidas is your competitor, don't think that they're not going to come after you on this category of product. If it's successful, they will. And this is one thing you need to be prepared for also, is the risk factor along with who the competition is. If they wake up, see this as an opportunity, how are you going to fend them off? So be a realistic, extend the reach of who you think your competitors are when you're defining that competition. The third piece is defining your point of difference. Once you've defined that opportunity, the market, you've defined your competition, then this is the story you're going to tell to the marketplace, whether it's retail or direct to consumer. You want to be able to provide and define your point of difference. And here's what I say is providing value beyond current competitors. And this is a story easily told on D2C, and you also need to make sure it's easily translated. I call this simple sophistication of how you extend and tell your message. Apple does an unbelievable job with this. The 1-2-3 principle. If we need a manual, it's too difficult. We need to make it more simplistic. So in your messaging, kind of follow these great brands that have had and defined their point of difference, product after product, generation after generation. And the first thing I'll say is provide value beyond the current competitors in the marketplace, because you've defined what the market is, you defined your competition, now define where your value is going to come from. As a consumer, the first question I'm asking is, well, what is it doing differently than I don't currently have in the marketplace? So providing value beyond the current is the first piece on that, defining your point of difference. The next is provide an experience. And this is a little bit different than even a year or so ago, a year and a half or so ago, when brands were forced to put all of their resources into switching channel expectations from brick and mortar to click and mortar to D2C business. So providing that experience wherever you can, I don't care if you're a product or you're a service, the experience itself can extend from wearing the experience to being in your experience to actually using your experience. So if that can be functionality, it can be the lifestyle you're projecting, it can be the product features when they're wearing the product, or it can be in the packaging itself. All of these things are an experience, and all of these things are expectations you're going to have from your consumer when they're purchasing your product and defining your point of difference. And again, I say, and I'll say it again, is ensure it's easily translated. Make it so a second or third grader can understand your point of difference. If it's too hard to understand for you or your employees, it's going to be too hard for the consumer. So make sure that your point of difference is easily translated, either visually or verbally. And be prepared for success and failure. Know your product. And what I mean by that is that when you bring it out to the marketplace, you're going to have failures along the way while you're commercializing that product. So don't get discouraged as you move along that path to realizing the vision of your product or commercializing your product. And at the same side, be prepared for success, meaning that it'll be a different failure that you're going to be up against if you are successful. With the expectation of success also comes the expectation of competition. So be honest with yourself on your competition. If Nike or Adidas, whoever these big competitors are in your category, Oracle or Microsoft, whoever it happens to be, if they wake up and see the success of your product, be prepared to defend your turf. So be prepared for success as well as failure, knowing your product. So that was number three, defining your point of difference. Number four is find sourcing that matches your vision. And I can't tell you how important this is that you may have this beautiful drawing on a board, a rendering that's second to none that everybody's excited about. If you can't find sourcing that pulls that product from paper to a physical prototype that matches your vision, it's never going to be realized in the marketplace. So work with sourcing that has the core capability to produce the product that you're trying to make. Now, that sounds very simple, but many brands fall flat on their face when they're trying to do this. They'll just say, well, he can do apparel, so he should be able to do footwear. Well, the sourcing may want to do that for you, but that isn't part of their core capability. So make sure you find someone that can pull your vision off from a sourcing perspective. Proven success with brands or with other products, and that they're flexible. And I say flexible as a third one. Having worked with so many international brands as well as international sourcing, I can tell you, if you work with an inflexible manufacturer that you're trying to translate your vision or build the product on a new category of product, and they're not flexible with you, you're going to waste a lot of time and a lot of money. Flexible means that they understand the expectation of success or failure and the trials that you're going to have to go through before you realize the vision of your product. So make sure that they're flexible with you. Number five is define your positioning and your marketing strategy. Once you've gone through these points of defining the opportunity, defining your competition, defining your market point of difference, finding the appropriate sourcing that matches your vision and can realize your product, then you're ready for the fifth step. It's really defining your positioning from what you did in the very beginning and then laying out your marketing strategy. If you have to build brand awareness, how are you going to do that? If you're going to build a new category product or a sub-brand, realize what's going to entail the steps for you to be successful in doing that. And I break it down into 4 points. Number one is know your product. Number two is know your competition. Number three is know your customers. And number four, know your markets. So these are all areas that as you go through the progressive steps of realizing the vision of your product is making sure that you define that positioning and marketing strategy. So in conclusion, I would say that be prepared for rejection. A lot of times these brands or companies or startups, you're pitching your idea, your product. Risk is a very hard hurdle for many brands to overcome. Some may realize that it's an opportunity and realize that it is a great idea or for product, but they just don't want to take the risk. Nothing against you, nothing against your product. They just say, hey, it's a new market. It's a new product. It's a new demographic. It requires us to build and invest in a new brand. So just be prepared for rejection. Many times it's not you, but you just have to be prepared internally and as well as externally. So just as soon as you get over that hurdle and commercialize your product doesn't mean you're not going to be faced with rejection in the marketplace, especially if it's a great, what I call a breakaway product or breakaway idea that nobody has seen in the marketplace. There's going to be some adoption risk as well. So once you get over the hurdle of internal rejection, then you face the external rejection of a new product. So make sure that you understand your product better than anybody can translate it easily. And working with a sourcing manufacturer that's flexible, so as you work through your supply and demand over the first few years of product introduction, they're flexible with you. So you need to make sure that you're prepared for rejection both internally and externally. And the second thing is have thick skin and be humble and be resilient. And this, if you've gone through these, I started my own brand, my own company, ran it for 10 years and had a great team that allowed us to be successful, eventually selling it to a PE firm. And I can tell you, this is one thing when I talk to young entrepreneurs who come to me either today or when I was running my company is you need to have really thick skin and be humble and be resilient. Now, some of these are oxymorons for people to say, well, what do you mean be humble and then be resilient and have thick skin? You know, all of these components are what make up the bloodline of an entrepreneur. So have that thick skin and be humble and be resilient are three things that I always looked at when I talk with brands or I've been inside of the teams that I've managed over the years is the humility of it's not me, it's my team. And that's an important aspect of being successful. So make sure that you are humble and resilient because your team is going to you for reassurance that everything is okay and the product is on track. And the last point I'll say is this, be a team member. Regardless of your position, everybody inside of that company, inside of your brand, you need support from each and every one of them. In order for you to be successful as an individual, you need to have the interdependence of everybody else around you. So make sure that you are a team member, as you'll need everybody's support in order for you to realize your vision. So move ahead, be resilient, know that you have a great idea, move along the steps that I've outlined here, and this is something that you as a brand or an individual can realize. Would like to thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles today. I really appreciate your time, and hopefully you've enjoyed the subjects that we talk about each week here on the Visionary Chronicles. And we feel it's very important. We understand that there's professional needs and support you need with your companies and with your brands, but we also appreciate the fact that you've got some personal needs. As leaders of companies and brands, there are many things that you have to deal with, and we want to make sure that we're addressing those as well. If you like what you hear, we would really appreciate subscribing to The Visionary Chronicles are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and Podbean. So we would really appreciate if you'd subscribe and look forward to bringing additional episodes to you each week. So again, thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Look forward to the next podcast.